I've tried living it risky, relied on women and whiskey to chase my blues, turn my nights to days. First rage, only a pastime, with age more than a lifetime, day in, day out, the world just turns away. But everybody knows you live and you learn, but the lessons just go on and on. I guess we're gonna have to wait for all the pages to turn, find out if it's right or if it's wrong.
You live, you learn.
You live.
Well, I can tell you 100% God's real, angels are real. I have seen it in dreams. I have been told specifically what's going to happen. I have demonstrated it many times to you. It is awesome. And I just love God. And I love God's creations. And I just want you to love God, and I want you to see what I've seen. I mean, that's just some Texas hospitality right there. I never get people that don't want other people to have enjoyment or pleasure or enlightenment or empowerment. I just get a thrill out of empowering people. There's so many people I've helped in my life. Not because I'm some great guy, it's just what I do. It just feels good. And they'll later say to me, why are you helping me? What do you want from me? And a lot of times, evil people that you didn't know were evil, you're helping them, they think you're after them or something. It's like, why are you helping me? Why are you being nice to me? There must be some alternative. Some secret motive, ulterior motive. It's like people that get mad that their neighbor has a little bit bigger house or nicer car than them. Like, isn't it nice you live by a neighbor with a nice house? Or people that get jealous that their neighbor has a super hot wife. I remember growing up and, like, somebody get a new car and some of the neighbor kids would say, and I'd be over their house, their dad would say, oh, that guy's a piece of crap. Blah, blah, blah. I bet he's on credit getting that car. He's a loser. And I'd be thinking, why? Why would you be upset that the guy has a nice car? Or, you know, I'd be like 10 years old over at somebody else's house, and somebody would come over and visit with their wife. She'd be some super hot chick. And then, you know, this is examples, and they'd leave, and then the dad or whoever would say, I bet she cheats on him. Like, why can't he have a beautiful wife? Why can't it say it's great? It's like they think somebody else's success hurts them. And when you understand that, hey, guys, I left a folder in the front seat of my truck. Will you go get it out? It's a blue folder. Forgot to bring it in here. Here's my keys. All right, just pull up the Artichoke documents that they classified 2 weeks ago. Again, I want to bring it up to the Nick. And here's the CIA saying, put poison in the food, the water, the vaccines to make them dumb and scared and easily controlled. They tell you what they're doing in 1952. Like, what type of elite want to dumb people down and poison them and give them cancer and make them scared? What? You're so powerful, you've got to rule over a bunch of dysfunctionals? Again, that's not leadership. And none of the articles have even given it credit how bad it is. Oh, they wanted to control us. They wanted to dumb us down. They wanted to... Print that for me, by the way. It's coming up. They say to control you, they're going to poison you. Yeah, now Rubio, I said it before it came out. And he's like, Rubio's like, yeah, Israel struck first, so we had to. They drug us into the war. Trump flips out. No, I'm the boss. Now Rubio, I didn't claim Israel dragged Trump into the war. No, they just struck him during the day, a day before they were even talking about doing it, to drag us into the war. We know what happened.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped. with the sea moss, because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The Alex Jones Show. Tomorrow's news today.
Pistol shots ring out in a barroom night. Enter Betty Valentine from the upper hall. She sees a bartender in a pool of blood. Cries out, my God, they've killed them all. Here comes the story of the hurricane. The man the authorities came to blame for something
Cortez. Hey, Nick. We're going to him in just a moment. All right. I've been explaining this for decades because I've studied history. I've studied sociology, anthropology, archaeology, futurism, predictive programming, what the globalists wanted to build. Couldn't we build alternate plans and dreams? Because humans build what we dream, made in the image of God. And now we see the old globalist order falling apart. We see Trump trying to fill the vacuum with a bunch of American power projection. And whereas I tacitly support the idea of Venezuela cutting off Cuba and Mexico, you see the aftermath, it's still a roll of the dice. But Iran is specifically for the interest of Greater Israel, with Huckabee now admitting Greater Israel, Israel admitting it, saying we're a superpower, bragging. Truly the stereotype of Israel wanting global domination and trying to control the U.S. is now a reality. Just as it was 9 months ago when they said surgical strike, nuclear program, midnight hammer. And I said, this is the prelude of them psychologically giving Trump, he thinks, a victory to then sell full war, even though Chairman Kane of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and others, like Eric Prince, that talks to the president, is very smart, said, do not do it. The scenarios are too dangerous. And now the Strait of Hormuz is closed. Now the economy's in crisis. Now Iran is firing missiles never before seen that come in and then evade the interceptors. They're not surrendering. They just killed more of the leadership trying to elect a new Sauron on the Council of 12. And you study their power setup, it just gets more psychotic as you go deeper, and they're thousands deep. So this does nothing. And then the big bombshell, we'll cover this first with Nick Fuentes for the next hour and 45 minutes. Appreciate him joining us. Marco Rubio, to hedge his bets yesterday, we'll play the clip in a moment, says, oh, yeah, I mean, we had to go in because we give the weapons, that's why, to Israel. And so Iran's doctrine is to hit us and all our bases in any country that has our bases. So we had to preemptively hit them, or the missile attacks would be much worse. So that's like, I had to attack you before you attack me. And then I said at the start of the show, I said, Trump doesn't want people to know that the tail's wagging the dog. He's going to get pissed. Sure enough, he said in the press conference with the German Chancellor, Merz, oh, no, Israel didn't do this. Oh, we always attack during the day. No, you don't. That's way more dangerous for so many things. The stealth profile, just with the light hitting the wings, creates a bigger resonance. Okay, because of ionization happening and other issues. And there's more condensation during the day, and it just goes on and on. It's not good to do these attacks. We never do them during the day. That's why I said they're going to hit Saturday about 6 o'clock U.S. time, the middle of the night over there. That turned out was the attack plan. Israel attacks first, hits the underground base with the Ayatollah meeting. This was Israel literally dragging us in to the beginning of a third World War. And now Rubio's like, oh no, Israel didn't drag us in. You can't deny the fact that 200 Israeli aircraft, 30 attacked the command base in Tehran with precision-guided AI bombs, and that Israel, we now learn, has hacked into all the cameras and, of course, released the video of them being blown up in the bunker and brags, oh, we're in all their cameras. It's just unbelievable. So Israel's trying to get us all killed. Netanyahu's trying to get us all killed. Tucker Carlson's totally right that Bibi's out of control. Israel's out of control. And Nick Fuentes is totally vindicated in his predictions of all of this. Because last year, you know, well, during the election 2 years ago, he said, Trump's going to go to full war with Iran. And I put pressure, we all did, and you know, hoped that, that what happened last year, 9 months ago, wouldn't go all the way. But now we're here. And you read the Israeli papers and see the Likudniks, they don't even think about geopolitics. They don't think about Strait of Hormuz closed and China all angry with half its oil cut off. They just literally have all the articles. We run America. We're the superpower. Yeah, we're going to get Turkey next. I'll play the last Israeli prime minister bragging. We may have to hit Saudi Arabia. So we got megalomania going on right now. And we have little time to turn this back. So let's go to clip 16. This is Marco Rubio. Yesterday, like, hey, it's no big deal. Israel struck. We had to. So literally saying Israel drives our policy. This is an admission. Now they're trying to put that back in the bottle. I don't care what Rubio said. I said that Saturday. We already know this. So now he gaslights and says, oh, no, they didn't. Oh, no, they did. Here's the clip.
The United States conducted this operation with a fair, clear goal in mind. I haven't got a chance to see a lot of reporting. I don't understand what the confusion is. Let me explain it to you, and I'll do it once again as clearly as possible. Perhaps you'll report it that way. The United States is conducting an operation to eliminate the threat of Iran's short-range ballistic missiles and the threat posed by their Navy, particularly to naval assets. That is what it is focused on doing right now, and it's doing quite successfully. I'll leave it to the Pentagon and the Department of War to discuss the tactics behind that and the progress that's being made. That is the clear objective of this mission. The second question that's been asked is, why now? Well, there's two reasons why now. The first is it was abundantly clear that if Iran came under attack by anyone, the United States or Israel or anyone, they were going to respond and respond against the United States. The orders had been delegated down to the field commanders. It was automatic, and in fact, it bears to be true because, in fact, within an hour of the initial attack on the leadership compound, the missile forces in the south and in the north, for that matter, had already been activated to launch. In fact, those had already been pre-positioned. The third is the assessment that was made that if we stood and waited for that attack to come first before we hit them, we would suffer much higher casualties. And so the president made the very wise decision. We knew that there was going to be an Israeli action. We knew that that would precipitate an attack against American forces. And we knew that if we didn't preemptively go after them before they launched those attacks, we would suffer higher casualties and perhaps even higher those killed. And then we would all be here answering questions about why we knew that and didn't act.
So Israel hits them. So we have to go to full war now. And they try to claim, oh, we're just trying to get their missiles now. No, Trump says, oh, we killed 40-something, now we'll kill the rest. It's about regime change. So these are clear promises broken. This is clearly unconstitutional. Didn't get congressional authorization. This is full war. It's out of control. I appreciate Nick holding while I did a 10-minute intro. Nick Fuentes is our guest. And again, people say, this guy's pro-white, this guy's whatever. We have major universities saying no whites allowed. We have whites of the devil must be exterminated, New York Times. This is the natural response to that. So I don't want to hear a bunch of stuff. I always want to say that as a premise right up front. So, Nick, you told us what was coming 2 years ago. You've been proven right. You know, you're like the new Alex Jones being right on things. So I want you to give your take on what's currently happening and then what you predict is going to come next. And is there any way to get Trump to extricate himself from this bear trap?
Well, I'll take the last question first. I think the answer is no. You know, and I was very pessimistic about the prospect of that going into this administration. As you know, in 2024, I said that Trump is the Iran war candidate. It was inevitable that Trump would take us to war. And as a matter of fact, I think that's a large reason why he got elected in the first place. I think that if you look at the election in 2020, it was obviously stolen and rigged. And so you say, well, how did he then come back and win in 2024? Well, clearly the riggers had to stand down and let him take office. And whether that's a combination of the media, social media, electioneering, whatever you want to say, they let him win. And I think they let him win because they knew that unlike Joe Biden and unlike the Democrats, he was going to have no hesitation, no reluctance whatsoever to engage Iran and its proxies, which, of course, he then did throughout 2025 and 26. So as to whether he can extricate himself from the situation, I don't think so. I think that over and over, we see the same pattern where whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, Israel triggers a confrontation with Iran. And the United States does its best, I think, in both cases, in a Democrat or Republican administration, to mitigate the severity of the confrontation. So Joe Biden used deterrence. I believe that Donald Trump last year wanted that midnight hammer strike to be the end of the nuclear program and one tap and the war. But of course, Israel has orchestrated all of these different confrontations. They're deliberately provoking and triggering them. And I think that was the same story here. What has happened, as you said, as Marco Rubio said yesterday, is that Israel came to the United States. Netanyahu came to the White House for, I believe, the sixth time since Trump took office for the second time. And he told Trump, we're going in. And you can join us or you cannot join us, but we're going to attack and your soldiers are going to be collateral damage. And so they forced our hand. And what is happening now, once again, is actually very much more of the same, which is that in the same way that in previous years, Washington and Tel Aviv actually diverge on their Iran policy. For example, Washington seeks denuclearization. Our doctrine is non-proliferation of WMDs. Our imperative is we don't want Iran to have the bomb. Israel, on the other hand, has always wanted regime change. And these are two completely different things. Israel seeks the termination, not just of the Ayatollah, but of the entire Islamic Revolutionary Government. And so that tension has characterized the three-way diplomacy between the U.S., Israel, and Iran. This war is more of the same. I believe that Trump went in knowing that Israel was going in. And I believe the play, to the extent that there is any kind of a plan, is Trump wants the Venezuela model. I'm sure that he, and I think Vance and the others as well, they thought they would go in hard and quickly against Iran, destroy the Navy, destroy the missile production, destroy the missile launch platforms, kill some of the top brass. And the expectation is that somebody from within the Iranian Revolutionary Guard would rise up as a pragmatist and negotiate with the United States for peace. And they would maintain Iran's government structure and security architecture while being pliant or compliant with the United States.
And by the way, you're not just speculating. They admit this, an insane gamble, just a crazy shot in the dark gamble.
Yes, and that is the correct word. It's a gamble. That is totally a roll of the dice whether that will happen. We just don't know that. We don't know who that might be, if that will happen. Now, further, this is why this is the ongoing divergence in Washington Tel Aviv policy. That's not going to be enough for Israel. Even if that was possible, let's say in your revolutionary, zealot, Shiite, theocratic government, you get a faction from the IRGC that wants to negotiate with Washington after they killed the Ayatollah and half the leadership and blew up the country. Even if that happens, will this satisfy Israel? The answer is no. Because what Israel is seeking is a total regime change. They want to install a liberal democratic government, maybe led by the Shah, or at least a transition led by the Shah. And why? So that they can manipulate the future state of Iran, as they did in Syria, as they did in Iraq, as they did in these other countries.
And that was my point from Saturday on, is you can look at this one-dimensionally. Yeah, Muslims are bad, but the British and the U.S. and Israel always put worse people in, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda in charge of Syria. The idea that the West is this fairy godmother.
Well, that's totally true. And not only that, but I think it's likely at this point that a hardliner regime takes power, because who's going to be left after these people watch their leaders get killed and their colleagues and their own countrymen get killed, I don't think they become more compliant. And it's a country of 90 million people. They have 1 million soldiers between all the security services. I don't know that they're just going to lay down and beg for mercy at this point. Why would they?
Americans, they even a pussified Americans wouldn't do that. The Vietnamese they're not going to lay down. They're going to get more aggressive.
They will, and that plays into Israel's hands. Because then what this does is it basically reignites the pretext for war. So, you know, the language in the Trump admin is escalation. We're going to bomb them even harder. We're not ruling out boots on the ground. It can always get worse. And so maybe you get a ceasefire, a new regime comes to power, they don't surrender, and then we have to come up with a more permanent solution. And this is where now the U.S. is talking to the Kurds and talking about the Kurds maybe potentially being a ground force.
Now they're talking about breaking Iran up, which is the Israeli plan to break up every country there.
Right, as they did in Iraq, as they did in Syria, that's the textbook Israeli grand strategy. So, yes, and that's the thing. You never see the end of the Iran war. It's always – this is just the latest climax. This is just the latest ceiling of hostilities between the U.S., Iran, and Israel, which have been ongoing for decades, and I don't think this is the end of it. So I don't know that I'd
totally
be surprised.
Agree. Do you think Trump even – I'm not trying to give him a get-out-of-jail-free card, but I actually know what your answer is. I know you're smart. Do you think Trump even understands this? And the answer is no.
No, I don't think so. And I think he just overestimates his abilities. I'm sure that in part, maybe they did Venezuela to build up his confidence, because Venezuela is a totally different story. 28 million people. The regime's not loyal.
They did the limited bombing thing and let him negotiate and have Israel stand down. They did that thing last year, I said, to get his confidence up with Iran.
You did say that. I remember I was down there and you said exactly that. And I think that is quite literally the play, which is you get that momentum, you get that inertia. And I'm sure they told him that this would create a deterrent effect. You do it to Venezuela, you can bring the force to Iran and say,
and
hey,
remember, they got top psychologists, the really good ones, are studying Trump. It's going back. I mean, it's disgusting.
It is, and they manipulate him. You know, people say it's blackmail. People say they got a tape of him. I don't think it's that complicated. I think that they surround him. They saturate his information diet, and you know, and they form his opinions. They create the options. And the question is, where's the personnel? Where's Tulsi Gabbard? Isn't she the DNI? Where is she? Where's Vance? Where's Rubio? These are all supposed to be America first people that we were supposed to be excited about in the cabinet. And what we find from the Times is that not even a single one of them told Trump not to do it. And these were all ostensibly supposed to be against the endless wars, the Middle Eastern conflicts.
By the way, I didn't think you were wrong 2 years ago when you predicted this, or last year when you said it. I hope we could avert this. But clearly now, if you follow Trump's psychology, I think he just doubles down. So where does that go?
So I think that it will end in regime change one way or another. You know, what happens imminently is sort of unpredictable. It's hard to imagine how exactly the Iranians respond and what the Trump administration has up its sleeves in terms of escalation. But I think that Israel, clearly they're driving the policy. They've orchestrated all of these events. They're not letting go until there's a regime change. And what Israel wants, they get. So I think that before the 4 years are up, you're going to see a full-scale regime change. And for that to happen, there's going to need to be a ground presence. Maybe that's partial U.S., partially it's militia or it's Kurds. I believe that is what was driving the protests even a month ago. It was all in the western half of the country, in the Kurdish part. And they said that these were people clad in black and they had automatic weapons and they appeared to be trained. So I imagine it's going to be some kind of smart power, multi-domain operation with the militias armed, maybe from Iraqi Kurdistan, which shares the border, and maybe from Turkey. And I think there's going to be some kind of force that comes in and forces a transition. I think that's when you work out the math on that, I think that's all but inevitable. And it seems unlikely now, but it seemed unlikely that we'd be here. It seemed unlikely we'd be bombing Iran into submission or that we'd bomb their nuclear program a year ago. It just keeps escalating in that direction.
But you predicted it because I watch your show. I watch clips almost every day, but whenever I can, I watch when I work out hours of it, you know, every few days. You literally, it was uncanny. I remember laid all this out 2 years ago. How did you know that? You just knew their policy.
They said it.
Yeah.
They said it openly. I appreciate you saying that. And it is true. I did predict it almost to the letter, but they were basically saying this in October 2023, right after the October 7th attacks. The Israelis all came out and they said, this is going to be a regional war. We're going to destroy all the proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, and then we're going to cut the head off the snake. They said, we're going to reset the international relations in the region that has prevailed for 50 years. And I think what they meant by that is this Islamic crescent headed by Iran, which was only the latest one after the Baathists, after the Arab coalition between Syria and Egypt. So I think that if you're really paying attention, even to the rhetoric from Trump, everybody forgets that the Israelis were whispering in Trump's ear that Iran was trying to assassinate him. Why do you think they did that? It's because they were already laying the groundwork. That was their pre-programming to sabotage that relationship so that they could tell him when he becomes president, hey, remember, they did try to kill you. And that was always meant to spoil diplomacy between the two countries.
Sure, let me ask you this question then. Why do the Israelis for 5 years wear on their a lot of their uniforms the Greater Israel map? Why do they admit it in their newspapers, then attack us and censor us when we say it, and then have dozens of articles a day? I can't even keep track of them saying, we run America, we're the new superpower, we're going to take out Turkey, we're going to take out our allies through Obama. You know, they took out and put the Muslim Brotherhood in. You know, they created Hamas. I mean, we're sitting here watching, and it's not just Netanyahu, it's the other main party and their, you know, last prime minister saying, we're going to get Turkey and others next. I mean, And then they think we're going to go to war now with Turkey, the biggest conventional military in Europe. I mean, it's like there's this giant buffet, and Israel's like a 1,000-pound fat person that wants us to sit there and hand feed all this at our expense. I mean, this is just megaloman. So I know Israel's smart in an evil way, but why do they brag? And I guess to enrage everybody else that's awake, because that just adds to the furor. What's going on here?
I think that that is a deliberate provocation. I think that, you know, part of their entire MO is they actually need the conflict. They feed on the conflict. You know, all of this was the result from October 7th. And after all, what was October 7th? Well, they called it the Al-Aqsa flood operation. What is Al-Aqsa? That is the mosque. That's the Temple Mount. That's the Dome on the Rock, which is in Jerusalem, which is the center really of the occupied territory dispute. That the Palestinians claim East Jerusalem as the capital, and they claim that's their third holiest mosque in Islam. And what the Jews did that in Israel that precipitated the October 7th attack is they had all of these Jews go to the Dome on the Rock, go to the mosque in Jerusalem, to the Al-Aqsa compound, and they started doing their religious rites in a very provocative way. And actually, that was the precipitating
and killing,
cause.
And killing the red heifer.
Yes, yes, finding the red heifer, the unblemished heifer and everything. And it was deliberately intended to provoke the Muslims into a response. And I think that the stuff about Greater Israel, the goal is the same. It is to provoke these countries into conflict, you know, because ultimately that is the way they're going to achieve their goals, is to elicit hostility. And then that's the pretext to bring in the United States to fight their wars for them. And I think that's the playbook from day one. So that is all part of it. Telegraphing that, signaling that, that's all part of the sick agenda, sadly.
No, I agree. So let's unpack this, and how do we stop it? How do we stop it? We'll be right back with Nick Fuentes. Stay with us here in the live feeds now.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah. By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's, yeah, it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free, you're plus. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' Methylene Blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's just been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
You know, people ask, who do I have on as guests on a routine basis? Whether economists, whether they're strategy people, security people, journalists, it's who is the most accurate. It's a really easy rule. I want to be accurate. I want to be smart. I want to be informed. The more knowledge I get, the more I want factoids. The more I want to, it all interconnects. And then I really disdain, on the left, right, anything, people that just pick up talking points and act like they know something. And what's frustrating is 90% of these so-called journalists and influencers, literally, you talk to them in person, they don't know anything. They say they're like deer in the headlights. My callers are infinitely more knowledgeable. Because, you know, they're tuned in here. They probably were smart before they tuned in. That's why they look for something else smart. Bird of a feather fly together, flock together. But it's not about tuning our horns. It's about saying we need to save civilization and humanity. Nick Fuentes, you can disagree with his conclusions or what he thinks should be done sometimes, but you can't disagree with his analysis and the fact that he goes up against top geopolitical, you know, White House advisors with 5 degrees and kicks their ass. So respect needs to be due. But also, it's not just the globals we're fighting. It's the low IQ people that we've woken up who are more like in high school and they want to in a hierarchy, say, you know, everybody's a globalist with them. It's something that the Israelis and the other lobbies feed with bots to make us fight with each other. So we don't recognize the organic leaders that God has given us to lead us out of this. So I want to just say that right up front, that I respect Nick Fuentes because he knows what he's talking about. I can disagree on the final product of thousands of points that go together, or say maybe this is better, and sometimes he's right more than I am. The difference is he knows what he's talking about. And I am sick and tired of having to debate low-grade morons that don't even know how to find their ass with both hands. So, Nick, let me throw this out at you because we got a lot of time here, and I appreciate it. But I want you to quantify before we go to these clips and unpack this and what you think is coming next, what you predict next, how we can stop this, which you already said we can't, which we still got to try. I think you're right. I'm about to evacuate to South America or something. That's where all the globalists are going. But here's my question. Looking at all of this, is there, and I want you to think about this. I know you already said no. What could we do? A peaceful demonstration? Hang something on our doorway? Or we all, liberals would say mass strike. I don't want to join them in that because then you're allied with Islam. Is there any way to get Trump off this destructive course we're on? And then maybe describe to people, because you predicted the future, where this course takes us. Nick Fuentes.
Well, as I said, I'm very pessimistic about that. And the reason being is because when you look at the numbers, it's not popular. You know, they did all the polls this weekend. You got Washington Post, Reuters. I think there's a few others. And the approval rating for the conflict is sitting at about 30%, right around 30%, maybe just under that. And Trump has to know this is an utter betrayal of his campaign promise of no new wars. And he's the peace president and so on. So as far as a massive demonstration, what is that supposed to demonstrate? That the war is unpopular? They know the war is unpopular. Is that supposed to demonstrate that we're dissatisfied? They know we're dissatisfied. And I think that that gets back to the nature of it, which is that it is a gamble. And I think that Trump is counting on the fact. Well, let's actually be honest for a moment here about it. Trump is counting on the fact or the possibility that this works, that this little gambit pays off. And we bomb Iran a lot for a week. It's quick and it's hard. And then we leave and we get what we want. And there's minimal loss of life. If it is successful, I think people on our side may even be underestimating the appetite for something like that among the general public. If it's a big victory, or if they're able to plausibly claim victory, it may even be popular. And so I think Trump is actually okay with this. I think that Trump, the way he sees it, because he said this the other day, he said, I don't care about approval ratings. He said, and I'll put boots on the ground. I don't care. Now, obviously, he cares on some level. But I think in his mind, this is all.
Yeah, he better care about a bunch of dead troops. I mean, you talk about we're talking. Oh, it'll make Vietnam numbers look tame.
Well, it depends on what they do. If it's a full scale invasion, you're absolutely right, because they will try to inflict maximum casualties and it will get ugly.
There's already special forces there before this happened. I'm talking about a real invasion to, quote, secure the Strait of Hormuz or whatever, to how they'll start it. It's just a disaster.
Right. Yeah. And I agree. And I think that, you know, on some level, he obviously cares about these things. But this is part of the bluff. This is part of the gambit, which is, you know, partially, I think some of the things he's saying is meant to signal to the Iranians that things could get worse. If the goal, if the outcome that you desire is for a pragmatic faction to take power, negotiate with the United States, well, to persuade them that that is the logical course, you would actually need to convince them that things could get worse.
And that's why they just had the council meeting to elect a new mullah who didn't want peace right now. They just killed them today. So he's hoping like maybe the next group's less radical. But as you said on your show a few days ago, and it's true, as you go down the chain, they get more radical and stupider.
Yes, and that is why he's trying to persuade them that it could always get worse. I'm sure in their mind, in Trump's mind, he's thinking that these Iranians expect that maybe they could ride out the storm if they could survive, if they could hide out in shelters, then maybe there's going to be some continuity of government. And Trump is trying to persuade them that if they don't capitulate, it could get worse. The bottom could continue to fall out from under them.
And by the way, they really don't want. Influence farmers will say you just endorse Trump. No, when you war game what he's thinking, you're not endorsing that.
Right. No, we're purely speculating about his state of mind and what his approach is. And so I think
you see the clips of you where they take you wargaming and say that's your same thing to me. That's what they do. I just want to get that out there.
Yeah, they always. Yeah, well, and I consider those people to be third worldists because they're really arguing for Iran in and of itself, or Venezuela in and of itself, or China. And me, I look at Iran not as a great country. I mean, they're a Muslim theocracy, but I look at them as a country that, one, they're a sovereign state. So I don't think we have business going in and killing their leader.
And potential to destroy us and bring down the economy. So.
Right. And I would go further than that. They balance Israel. There's a balance between Iran and Israel. I don't know that that's the worst thing in the world, because if you have two very powerful states.
Israel needs to be contained. Why are they now publicly admitting everywhere? I'm sure you've seen it that, yeah, we're taking everything, including their allies. Like it'd be like if my neighbor said, yeah, I just went over and screwed my neighbor's wife and your wife's next.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a provocation. It's intended to be provocative. They actually do not want peace in the region. And all of this is based on fueling this ongoing conflict. They don't want it.
Same reason they stood down on October 7th. Same reason they founded Hamas.
Yes, and Americans are under the impression that we're desperate to make a deal, and there's this peace that is just always elusive, always out of reach. If only the Muslims would just relax. But it takes two to tango here. The Israelis, they are the ones that actually want the conflict. They didn't want a deal with Iran. If they get a deal with Iran, that they don't get to topple the Iranian regime. If Iran gets a deal with the United States, maybe they give up their nukes on some timeline, but they also get to normalize their trade relations and diplomatic relations with all the countries
exactly.
in the region.
Israel wants to keep it to no man's land and keep them in the timeout box.
Yes, they want to maintain that kind of operational control like they had in Syria, where they can control the airspace and they can just drop bombs, and then they could ultimately control the outcome in that country and make it significantly weaker. So that's the sick logic of Israel's grand strategy.
We have a full sales job now by Netanyahu, Trump, and now Vance. We have the clips that it may last a little while, a long time. It may last forever. We're being sold on a forever war right now. And so here's my problem. I don't want the Democrats opening the border. I like Trump killing the carbon tax. I like the no tax on tips. You know, there's all this good stuff, but rapidly, like I can like ignore some stuff and hold my nose with Trump, but quickly, I mean, by the hour, I morally cannot be part of this. You're already there saying vote Democrat. I get you're saying that as a carrot and the stick, but I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I think you have to. I think you have to vote Democrat in 26, and I'll tell you why. I mean, we're being told always that the Republicans are the lesser of two evils, that they're going to be marginally better than the Democrats. Look at all of the broken promises. Epstein files, that's huge. It's huge. And let's be honest, they tried to cover it up. It's not like they fumbled that. It's not like they made a mistake. They engaged in an active cover-up, and they failed only because of a revolt within their own party. And now Marjorie Greene is an outcast. She was like the MAGA congresswoman. She was like the one in Congress who came after Trump won the election. She's an outcast because she led the coup to get the Epstein files released. That's a big one. Then you got the deportations. They haven't started on the border wall. And even though they secured the border, look, they secured the border in 2020. What good did that do when Joe Biden came into power? Nothing, because then he just overturned all the executive orders and they came pouring in. That's why you need the wall. They haven't started it. 230,000 deportations. It isn't happening. And now we're in a regime change war with Iran. You've been around. I've been around not as long as you, but for some time. Regime change in Iran is like synonymous with the neocons' ultimate master plan. That is like the number one thing on Israel's wish list.
It's the jewel in the crown. It was the whole Middle East strategy and the rebuilding America's defenses PNAC plan 2020 or 2000 was this.
Yes. And even further than that, going back to clean break in 96, this has always been the plan. And for a time, we thought that was unthinkable. We thought that Trump winning made that impossible. So for Trump to be the one to take us there and sell it and push it and trigger it, and now we're in a regime change war with Iran, it's almost unbelievable to even say that. Thousands of American and Israeli airstrikes destroying Iran's military. Here's how I feel about it. If you will tolerate that, you will tolerate anything. At what point do you say no? What point do you say there's no excuses? People say, well, if there's boots on the ground, boots on the ground. Dude, they're dropping bombs everywhere, and it's in Iran. So for me, I said, that's the last straw. I'm out. And you know me, I'm the furthest thing from a Democrat. I'm far right. I'm not left wing or even liberal. I don't consider myself even a center liberal or
Let's talk about that. Democrats get in. Isn't that accelerationist?
No, I think that I don't know that I would characterize it as accelerationist. I would characterize it as corrective. And it's sending a message to the GOP before the big one, which is 28.
Yeah, you're saying the only leverage we've got is the wake-up call.
Right. And, you know, 28, we got to win that one. I really believe a Republican's got to win. But we need it to be the right Republican. And I don't know that there's any other language they will understand other than to show them we're not showing up in 26. And what's more, I also think that Vance and Rubio are to blame in this as well. If they couldn't stop a war in Iran when they're in power now, how are they going to make the decision when they become the president?
We knew Rubio's a deep state guy. He's been, quote, doing a good job for what we wanted till now. But Vance was an open thing. He's come out now and said we may be there in a long war. So Vance is definitely getting in line with that. In fact, speaking of the devil, let's go to those clips first. Here's Thune, the leader of the Senate, saying Trump doesn't need a war powers. He has authorization, which no, he doesn't. This is pure war, folks. This is not blow up their weapons. This is regime change. And then Vance saying the same thing and then saying basically this could be a forever war. And then I want to go through these other clips, but here it is.
Do you think the Congress would need to authorize any military action against Iran beyond the 60-day or 90-day window?
No. I think the president has the authority that he needs to conduct the activities, the operations that are currently underway there. As you know, there's a lot of controversy around, questions around the War Powers Act, but I think the president is acting in the best interest of the nation and our national security interests by ensuring that he's protecting Americans and American bases and installations in that region, as well as those of our allies.
We'll go back and get Nick Fuentes' take on this, but Marco Rubio yesterday, Israel launched the attack. They were going to attack us. We had to attack them because they would attack us if we attacked them. Thune just said, we attacked them, so they're going to attack us. So now we have to authorize the war. So we attack somebody. So the president has a War Powers Act because he has the power to attack somebody. I mean, this is insane. Continue.
The United States has a lot of optionality here. And, you know, we could go for a little bit longer. We could go for a lot longer. But I think the president just wants to make it clear to the Iranians and to the world that he is not going to rest until he accomplishes that all-important objective of ensuring that Iran can't have a nuclear weapon, not just for the next few years, not just because we obliterated Fordow or some other enrichment facility, but because the Iranians themselves commit long-term to not building a nuclear weapon.
So we've gone from, oh, we successfully destroyed their nuclear stuff, which I said was BS, to now total war. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, they said last year that the program was completely obliterated. And, you know, we've almost even talked past the point. It's sort of interesting. Last year, the pretext for bombing Iran in the first place was that they were racing towards a nuclear bomb. When Israel hit Iran on June 13, 25, they said, well, Iran was going to strike us and they were racing towards a device. That's why we had to preempt that by striking them. And then, of course, the U.S. intervened to finish the job at Fordow and Natanz, which only we could do with the bunker busters from the B-2 bombers. Well, then in January, when these protests started in Iran, all of a sudden that shifted and Trump came out and said, well, we were going to attack Iran, but we couldn't topple the regime in one blow. And you say, well, wait a second. I thought Israel and the United States attacked Iran last year because they were on their way to a nuke. But then we took care of it and we blew up their program. Now they're saying, well, we couldn't bomb Iran at our discretion in January because it wasn't going to topple the regime. And you say, topple the regime? I thought it was about the nuclear program. And like you say, now we're in it. Now we're in a full-fledged regime change war. And you wonder, who made this decision exactly? Who voted for this? Why is this happening? Arguably, it is within, I think, America's interest to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. And if they're about to imminently acquire them, a case could be made. I don't know that I would make it, but in a theoretical, a case could be made that the United States might preempt that by intervening in Iran.
The point is they've abandoned that cover story, and Trump says, oh, we killed 47, now we'll kill the rest. It's all about regime change now, which under the law is illegal to preemptively attack somebody saying, I want regime change. So Trump's being set up here with major impeachment charges.
Well, and they're throwing everything out there. It's the dead protesters. It's the nuclear program. It's the missiles. It's just like Iraq. It's exactly like Iraq. Oh, they're building a nuke, but also they did the anthrax plot. Also 9/11. They just throw everything out there in the hopes that enough people are going to buy it. And like you said, there's nothing legal about this. What is the authorization for the use of force against Iran? Did Congress declare war? At what point was this decision made and exactly by whom? So I don't know that this is impeachable because ironically, the Democrats supported too. Chuck Schumer came out of the closed door hearing with Marco Rubio at the State of the Union or the afternoon of and said, well, this is very serious and Trump's just going to have to make his case. There's a lot of Democrats that support this, guys like John Fetterman, among others.
They're stepping back and did not take any problems if it goes sideways, but they're behind it.
100%, 100%. I think so. And I don't think they would move against him for that. So
Trump saying that, no, he forced Israel's hand, even though on record the Pentagon admitted, no, we didn't know. They took the opportunity, so we had to hit. The Secretary of State says it. Trump makes him come out and say that wasn't true. Talk about congressional hearings now. What's going to happen to Rubio when he's in front of Congress? So this is very embarrassing right now. Here is Trump saying that they made him force – that Trump forced Israel's hand to strike first during the middle of the day against our doctrine. And then why do you think Rubio came out yesterday and said Israel forced their hand? What do you think the impetus behind that was? Here it is.
President, did Israel force your hand to launch these strikes against Iran? Did that
No.
pull the United States into this war?
No, I might have forced their hand. You see, we were having negotiations with these lunatics. And it was my opinion that they were going to attack first. They were going to attack. If we didn't do it, they were going to attack first. I felt strongly about that. And we have great negotiators, great people, people that do this very successfully and have done it all their lives very successful. And based on the way the negotiation was going, I think they were going to attack first. And I didn't want that to happen. So if anything, I might have forced Israel's hand. But Israel was ready and we were ready and we've had a very, very powerful impact.
Well, since the 80s, Iran has not launched an attack first. Every attack has been a response, a retaliatory attack. I mean, that is literally pulled out of Trump's butt, Nick.
It is. And that's exactly what happened last year, too. Israel came in and Trump said, oh, we knew they were doing it. They told us and the whole negotiations were a ruse. It's almost just childish to see Trump in the White House spin. Well, actually, I forced Israel to do it. This is when Trump just becomes grating. You know, all those things we thought were charming 10 years ago or endearing or funny. Now it's just grating and insufferable. He's obviously full of it. That there's nothing true about that at all. This idea that, like you say, that Iran was about to attack us. Really? We have two carriers there. We got a dozen warships, 50,000 soldiers, half of our Air Force. And Iran was going to start the war against us. Does that even make any sense? That is completely made up.
And then Rubio says Israel launched an attack, so we had to, because they were going to attack us. Now Trump goes, no, they were going to attack us with no information. I mean, I'm sorry, folks. I wanted to support Trump. I support the killing the carbon. That's why I hate this, because he's done a lot of good. We're watching Trump self-immolate on live television.
It is. It's a complete unraveling, and it's clear what happened there. I think, look, J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, they want to run for president in 28, so they know that their butt is on the line here. If this Iran war doesn't go well, there go their presidential ambitions. And so I think that when Rubio comes out and says, well, Israel made us do it, obviously, this is like a real-time narrative construction so that when in 28 he's questioned about it on the debate stage, if this becomes a debacle, this is hedging. He can say, well, we didn't have any options. We had the choice. Either we go in with Israel at the beginning or Americans die. Well, I chose to, you know, that's going to be the argument. That's going to be the campaign speech. That'll be the, you know, screenshot this. In a few years, that is what he's going to say on the debate stage. We had a choice. If we didn't act, then more Americans would have died. And I stood with Trump. We made the bold decision to go in and blah, blah. That is clearly going to be the answer.
And by the way, you're on
and
a
you
roll.
Could tell.
You're on a roll. We got a whole other hour coming up, but let me just stop you. I said at the first of the show, they're going to use the insurance company shutting down the Strait of Hormuz as the claim that we've got to put a beachhead on the Iranian side so they can't close it to secure it for trade. I said, I believe that'll be the excuse for boots on the ground, which they floated in the last 2 days, which Eric Prince freaked out about rightfully. Ladies and gentlemen, he just put this out. Show the timestamp on this, guys. Scroll down. Pull it up. I just saw this now. Trump is now saying he signed an executive emergency order basically for war. If anybody tries to close the strait, it's already closed. So this is him using economic emergency powers to have an unofficial declaration of war. Nick, this is horrible. This is really bad. This is boots on the ground. So this is just a few minutes ago. What do you make of this, Nick Moynihan?
Well, it's like I said, we're being drawn in here. That is really the operative word. Nobody wants this. It's not in our interest. We are being slowly drawn in. And what that implies is that step by step, we're being dragged further into this. And that's always what happens. It always starts with, we're just putting maximum pressure sanctions. Well, we just killed Qasem Soleimani. Well, we just backed a cyber attack. It's always, we just did this one time. And all it does is increase our liability. It just increases our stake in this disaster. And so it was very obvious. Okay, we go in with the bombs really hard. We destroy the Navy. We destroy the missile launch platforms. Okay, well, then you get this logic like, well, you break it, you bought it. Now Iran inevitably is going to keep throwing missiles at us. We're running out of interceptors. So what do you do now? Iran is going to close the Strait of Hormuz. That's going to shut down 20% of the oil trade. What do you do now? Again, you're being drawn in step by step, and our share of this, our stake in this, is always increasing until you wake up and you find you're in this unthinkable scenario. So that's why I say, yeah, I don't know that we can rule out boots on the ground in the future.
Oh, but that's the plan. People go, oh, the executive order just says they'll protect the ships. Yeah, they're going to do it with troops. I already saw it. People, we got a whole other hour coming up, but how people find you, Nick?
I am at rumble.com/Nick J. Fuentes. I'm live every weeknight, and I'm on Twitter, Nick J. Fuentes as well.
And I'm at Real Alex Jones on X and the Alex Jones Show on Rumble. Everybody, we've survived so much. Nobody thinks we're going to shut down. The state receiver is refusing to pay the internet bills, refusing to keep the company open. So it looks like we're shutting down this month, towards the end of the month. We have the backup network. Just be ready, people. We survived so much, you don't take it serious. Just get ready to share. Here's where Alex is at. Because I don't cry wolf. I just survive a long time. We'll be right back with our number four. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.